It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's March 3rd and 4th. February has been a little good to us because we had that unseasonably warm weather, melted all the snow off my hill where I live, and made it a little more difficult skiing because then when it froze up again, underneath some of the softer snow was a sheet of ice. But anyway, this is New England, and we expect that. Big shout out to all my running friends for participating at this Ascutney Winter Wild Race. Also, on March 3rd, there are three races. If you're listening to this today, there is the Winter Wild Race at Gunstock, followed by two road races at Northeast Delta Dental at 9 a.m., which raises money for a cancer fund, and it's for Beth Conley's run at Boston Marathon. And at 11 o'clock, there's a run right across the campus at NHGI. So that's for my running friends. Want to also give a big shout out to Maggie Pritchard and Ann Nichols, who appeared on the show last week talking about Lakes Region Mental Health Center and the rebranding from Genesis. And of course, mental health awareness is a topic that's near to dear in my heart. I've had Justice Broderick on many times to talk about change direction. But with me this weekend is Bob Huff, who is the president of the Aviation Museum of New Hampshire. Bob has been a volunteer at the Aviation Museum since 2003 and has a really interesting background, a passion for flying. So, Bob, thank you for joining me this weekend, March 3rd and 4th. I'm glad to have you on board.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Now, one of the things I've learned in 7 years of doing this radio show is that people are always very interested in knowing who my guest is, not only their organization, but their background. So you've been flying for over four decades, and why don't you take it from there?
Okay, it's hard to believe it's been 40 years. It seems life goes fast.
It does, for sure.
It's good to take advantage of every moment. But I got interested in flying when I was 10 years old. That's when my dad started to learn to fly and take lessons, and so I grew up with it. And there's just something magical about the whole industry and being able to fly and soar above the land. And the scenery is always different. The weather's always different. There's always different viewpoints. And it's just a wonderful way to get around. And I've been flying for 40 years. I've never looked back. And I pinch myself every time I get to go up and be in the sky.
Awesome. And you're also a pretty smart guy. You have a BS in electrical engineering from UPenn. And you also have a BA and PA in physics at Susquehanna University. So tell us about your life outside of flying. So you were a quality engineer. Tell us about that.
Right. Well, out of college, I went into the communications industry and telecommunications and was in the quality assurance, quality control department. So I managed a lot of the process controls in a manufacturing environment and handled customer complaints and product quality and that sort of thing. And that company morphed into all the long-distance internet services, the high-capacity fiber optic systems and that sort of thing. And so a lot of our customers were the companies that you recognize as Sprint and Verizon, et cetera. And so it's been a great industry, and it's changed so fast over the years with now all the digital high-speed electronics. And I retired from that in June of 2015.
And then threw yourself into the Aviation Museum, before we get into where it's located and its mission, tell us about you were recognized and represented the state of New Hampshire in the 50 Flags to the Kitty Hawk program. Tell us what that was all about.
Yeah, well, in 2003, that was the centennial of the Wright brothers' first flight down in Kitty Hawk, and the Experimental Aircraft Association out in Wisconsin had a program they put together to celebrate that centennial, where they designated a pilot from each state to fly the state's flag to Kitty Hawk to celebrate the centennial and their little ceremony when you arrived and presented the flag. And I got selected for New Hampshire, and it was really a big thrill for me to be able to do that. And one of the commitments I made when I was selected was that I would bring aviation around to the schools. And so I built a Wright Flyer simulator, which simulated the Wright Flyer of the first flight of the Wright brothers, and took it around to schools and taught kids about what it was like to fly that first airplane, teach them a little bit about aviation. It was really a wonderful experience, and You just see the kids' eyes light up when they get on the simulator and start to fly like the Wright brothers did.
Awesome. And you actually own and fly every chance you get a amphibian. Tell us what that's all about.
Yeah, this is a fairly unique airplane, so I really feel privileged to be able to fly it. It was owned by the Navy during World War II, and it's a small amphibian, and rather than having pontoons like you're used to seeing on a float plane, it lands on its belly, so it's shaped like a flying boat, and it has outriggers on the wings, and those help to balance the plane on the water. And it also has wheels that fold up into the side of it so you can land on water or land, whichever you choose to do. So it's really a fun airplane to fly. It's a unique plane, and I pinch myself every time I get to fly it.
Awesome. Now let's switch gears and get right into the Aviation Museum of New Hampshire. Where is it located and its mission?
Okay, it's on the east side of the Manchester-Boston Regional Airport, and it's at 27 Navigator Road. And it was... Museum came to be in 2005 when the old terminal at the Manchester Airport was slated for destruction when the airport was expanding. And this is a terminal building from 1937, which was built by the Works Progress Administration. So it's really a unique historic building, and it has an Art Deco architecture to it. And so the Historic Association within New Hampshire was able to preserve it, and they moved it to its present site at the southeast end of the field. And so we're privileged to be housed in the 1937 terminal building. And then in 2011, Gene Slusser from Hopkinton donated an expansion to that building. So now we have a lot more space for exhibits, and we have about 4,000 square feet. And our mission is to preserve New Hampshire aviation history, but also to educate and teach and inspire aviators and the young and old alike, and to really have people learn about aviation, the history of aviation, and what an exciting industry it is, especially for young people who are looking for exciting careers and things to do after they get out of college. And so we're very enthusiastic about the opportunities of educating people and really having dynamic and hands-on exhibits that promotes education and careers in aviation.
Awesome. And also it was nice that you mentioned the WPA. I knew if I learned that back in sixth grade that it would come in handy like 50 years later with the Work Projects Administration.
Right.
So that thank you for that historical allusion. So the website is aviationmuseumofnh.org. And you mentioned getting kids, students interested in the field. And tell us about the Aviation Education High School course that you have there, because that does definitely brings a huge smile to my face as a former chair of the State Board of Education, because this is precisely what we were trying to do in terms of extended learning opportunities, real-world learning opportunities, and getting credit. So tell us about that.
Right. We have two education programs, and they're really very critical to us and very important to us. And one is the Aviation Education Program for high school students, juniors and seniors. And we pick juniors and seniors because they can drive to the museum. So we hold this at the museum. And it's a course designed to let students know what the possibilities are for careers in aviation. There's just so much out there and so many opportunities. A lot of the baby boomers are retiring. And so the opportunities now in the aviation industry are like they've never been before. And so we teach students about AT air traffic control, about airport design, about navigation and the physics of flight and all the techniques involved with avionics and navigation. And we really cover a large spate of the careers that are available in aviation and airport management. And so it's really a well-rounded opportunity for students to see what's involved with these careers and see how technology, science, and engineering is used in these technologies. And so we like the fact that we start from a position of problems and applications and then use the science and technology to solve those problems. So rather than just learn theory, they learn why they're learning the theory, and it's very important to do that.
So you're a man ahead of your time because, getting students interested in STEM, I found... And we've had presentations at the State Board of Education, is when the student can see the relevance, as you said, the why to it. That's why I always had trouble in geometry, Bob, because The teacher never told me why it was important that that I have two isosceles triangles balancing. I can do that, but I don't really know the purpose. I never got the why, so I'm glad to hear you have the why.
Well, I actually had students in class yesterday that said, now they know why they're learning tangents and sines and cosines, because we used that in class yesterday.
Exactly. And, so this is bringing a huge smile to my face. So
I also wanted to mention the other program we have, and that's the school outreach program. And that's where we go to middle schools, and we bring the program to them, and we teach kids about forces and motions, and we do experiments, and we have paper airplane contests. So we really want to open up the eyes of the middle school students as well and have them see what's involved with aviation and get them excited about it. And that's a program we bring to the schools at no charge, and we fund it ourselves. We're a nonprofit, but we feel it's important to educate the students and introduce them to science and technology early in their education opportunities.
And again, the website is aviationmuseumofnh.org. And you have at least three school districts involved in the high school course. So you have Exeter, Londonderry, and Manchester. So how did you pull that off? Because that's offering a full credit for the course. And occasionally some red tape involved with that.
But yeah, it can be difficult to get accreditation for. And so we're accredited through the schools. And we worked very closely with the Manchester School District and one of their ALO coordinators. So as we developed the program, we worked with them to make sure that we were developing a curriculum that they could support, a curriculum that they could give credit for, and that we met the rubrics that they're looking for from the students. So it was important that we work closely with the schools ahead of time and that they were involved all along the way and helped us make sure we developed the right kind of curriculum.
Again, the website is aviationmuseumofnh.org. It's located at 27 Navigator Road. That's the Aviation Museum of New Hampshire. The hours are Friday and Saturday, 10 to 4, and Sunday, 1 to 4. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Today is March 3rd or 4th, depending on when you're listening to this. If you're listening to this on March 3rd, there are three races on this day. There's a Winter Wild race at Gunstock very early in the morning. Then we have a race at Northeast Delta Dental at 9 a.m., put on by Beth Conley. And then at 11 o'clock, there's a race. Just go right across the bridge, and you can pick up a race at NHGI. So you have one of three races to choose from, and some sort of crazy people like myself may actually do all three. But this weekend, we're focusing on the Aviation Museum of New Hampshire, and with me is Bob Huff, who's the president of the Aviation Museum, and they're located right in the east side of Manchester Airport on 27 Navigator Road, and their office hours, they're open Friday and Saturday, 10 to 4, and Sunday, 1 to 4. Tell us about staffing and how you pull this off. I know that you run it lean and mean, so we'll get into some of the fundraising events you have. But tell us how that all you put that together.
Yeah, we are lean and mean. We're a nonprofit, all our money comes from donations and grants, and so we do have a small staff. We have one full time and two part time people, and so we rely on volunteers to really help us out with our events and our programs and operating the museum. And if it wasn't for our volunteers, we just couldn't exist. We couldn't do what we do because we're doing a lot of programs all the time. I mentioned our school outreach program. We've probably touched 5,000 students in the last 2 years in this program. And it's through our volunteers that we're able to do what we do. And we probably have about 25 volunteers that help us and support us. And we're always looking for more volunteers. So if you have an interest in working with kids, have an interest in imparting science and technology with kids, if you're passionate about aviation, come on by, be a volunteer, and we'd love to have you.
Awesome. And again, the website is aviationmuseumofnh.org, all one word. So you'd mentioned you're not-for-profit, and you're running lean and mean, but we do have a few events to do some fundraising, one of which is having to do with March Madness, and I'm thinking about that because I just did an email to all of my employees reminding them that there's no bigger basketball fan or sports fan than Tom Raffio, but please don't use the email system for bracketology. So tell us about March Madness at the museum, when it is, and how do we get involved?
It's Thursday, March 22nd from 5:30 to 7:30, and it's a beer tasting. There'll be five breweries there, And so we'll have pub-style food. So I can't imagine a better evening than beer, basketball, and pub food. And it's a fundraiser for the museum. It's $30 per person. It's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of camaraderie there, and there'll be opportunity to see the game on the big screen. And if the game isn't playing right at that time, there'll be the game analyses that are always going on all the time. So we'll have the big screen on and lots of good times, and it's for a good cause to raise money for the museum.
And specifically for the museum's aviation education programs, which Bob talked about. If I wanted to buy a ticket, would I just go onto the website, or how would I do that?
You can go to the website and buy it online. You can call the museum, and you can also show up, but you're taking a chance if we've run out of space to accommodate you. So it's good to sign up ahead of time, and you can reserve a seat, buy a ticket online, and or call the museum.
And again, it's aviationmuseumofnh.org, and since the space is truly limited, this is not a sales ploy, I would encourage you to get the tickets early. And then on April 14th, you have something called Clearing the Skies, an Air Traffic Control Perspective. Tell us about that.
Yes, well, during the tragedy of 9/11, it was very critical that the FAA cleared all the traffic, air traffic, out of the skies to make sure there weren't any more incidences. And that was a huge undertaking. It was a huge logistic job for them to take care of this and clear the skies and stop planes from coming into the U.S. And so this will be the FAA talking about what they did, how they did it, and what was involved. And they really did an incredible job of accomplishing this. Nobody had ever practiced this. Nobody ever thought they would need to do this. And for the FAA to have accomplished this in the time they did is just a remarkable job. And so we'll have somebody from the FAA to talk about this and provide slides and pictures on what they did and how they did it. So it's going to be a very, very popular event. So I highly recommend you reserve a seat ahead of time for this one. And again, it's Saturday, April 14th, 11 a.m. at the museum.
Great. That sounds really, really interesting. The gentleman speaking, Robert K. Jones, has appeared on CNN and was formerly the general manager of the New England Federal Aviation Administration, or current. Tell us about fast forwarding. We're getting towards the summer, so now June 2nd, we have a barbecue and fly at Nashua Airport. Tell us what that's all about.
Yeah, that's actually going to be June 9th.
June 9th, okay.
And it's a barbecue flying at the Nashua Airport. And it's really a celebration of the good weather and people starting to be able to fly again. And so we have a great time with good food, and people will fly in their aircraft. People also bring their antique cars or any other kind of mobile hobby they have that they want to bring in. And it's just a good, fun time celebrating the good weather, having some good food, and seeing what people are flying and what's involved with their everyday activities in the aviation world. So that's a very, very fun time.
And then from the air to the ground on Saturday, July 14th, you have your sort of world-famous annual car show. Tell us about that.
Right. This is a great car show. We have lots of room at the museum to display a lot of cars. So if you have an antique car you'd like to put on display, we welcome you to come out and participate. It's a fun time. We have lots of unique cars. I find it just amazing what people do in restoring these cars and how pristine they are and how unique they are. And it's a fun time to celebrate that. And you know, if you're a motorhead, you're a motorhead. Whether it's airplanes or whether it's cars or whether it's motorcycles, come on by, take a look. It's just impressive what people bring.
And then further in the summer, on Saturday, August 11th, you have the so-called home-built aircraft fly-in. So that is a mouthful. So tell us what that's all about.
Well, this is probably one of our biggest events. And we wanted to introduce the public to what we call home-built aircraft. And these are aircraft that people build in their basements, in their garages, in their hangars. And it's a huge industry. And there's over 10,000 of them out there right now. And I believe that more home-built aircrafts are produced per year than all the manufactured aircraft in the world combined. So it's really an amazing industry, and most people don't know about it. And these planes are inspected, and their certifications and the rules and requirements. So they're safe airplanes, and some of them are very sophisticated, very fast, and very unique. And so it's really an eye-opener for the public to come in and see these aircraft. The kids absolutely love it when they see these things. They get to climb in them, talk to the pilots, and the kids get to pick their choice on what they think is the best aircraft. And so it's really a fun time. And if you're between the age of 8 and 17, we're going to be offering free rides for anybody in that age bracket. And that's a fun way for kids to learn about aviation and get in the air and see what it's all about.
The Young Eagles Partnership, that's awesome. So to review, the hours of admission and admission are 10 to 4 Friday and Saturday, Sunday 1 to 4. The events that we just referenced, the March Madness at the museum, Thursday, March 22nd at night. And then on April 14th, clearing the skies, an air traffic control perspective. And again, you should go on the website, aviationmuseumofnewhampshire.org, because there's limited seating. June 9th is the barbecue and fly-in at Nashua Airport. July 14th, the annual car show. And as just referenced, Saturday, August 11th, the home-built aircraft fly-in. Just want to also, for my educator friends, I know that I have two niches in my listening audience, all my running friends, and I've already reviewed the different races, but I also have a lot of CEOs and educator friends, and so I just want to put a big shout out for the aviation education high school course. So you must be a pretty busy guy.
Yeah, I'm pretty busy. I retired in June of 2015. My wife said she saw more of me when I was working than I am now volunteering. So, but you know, it's a labor of love. You know, I'm passionate about aviation. The opportunities for kids in aviation for careers is just mind-boggling. It's huge. And whatever you want to do, this is a good opportunity. We need to expose kids to what the opportunities are out there. And that's what we're trying to do. Let them know what's available and what their opportunities are.
So if you've probably sparked a lot of interest in a number of levels. I mean, if I'm a principal listening to this and want to sign up next year for the high school course, if I'm recently retired myself and, you know, want to join your board or become a volunteer, would they contact you directly?
Yeah, they can call the museum directly, and it's 603-669-4820. Or if you go on the website, you can see an email address. You can email from the website.
So the phone number again is 669-4820. Now that you're sort of retired, but really spending now full time at the Aviation Museum of New York, what's the one thing that's maybe surprised you about the sort of heading up a not-for-profit and sort of a niche of aviation?
Well, I guess the big thing that has surprised me is who walks through our door. You never know who you're standing next to in the grocery store. You never know who walks through your door. The people I have met are incredible, from World War II veterans that were shot down in B-17s and spent time as prisoner of wars, or chief pilots for airlines. I met the chief pilot for FedEx, who has flown everything from Arabian horses to cattle to giraffes to pandas. And you just get to meet the most marvelous people who have really accomplished significant amount of things in their lives. And then the other thing, which isn't a surprise to me, but the other thing that I really value are the kids and the wonder in their eyes, the look in their eyes, the joy they get out of being around aviation, sitting in an airplane, learning about flight. It's just remarkable to see the joy in their faces and what happens when they get exposed to something like this.
Well, you have made my day, because that's what education is all about, sparking the interest of the young children, of course, and then you mentioned the veterans. I'm just finishing up watching Band of Brothers, and veterans, you know, current and in the past, you know, awesome people. Thank you, Bob, for all you do for the Aviation Museum of New Hampshire. And the contact information again is 669-4820 or aviationmuseumofnh.org. Bob, thank you for joining me this weekend.
Thanks for having me. It was great. Appreciate it.